It's my joy to be able to welcome Graham this morning. He's a royal man of God. And, get ready.
Could we pray? Oh, Father, as I just come before you now, Lord, I feel so weak. But I thank you, Lord, that you are strong. And I just pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you'll bless us this morning. Lord, your word, it's not my words, Lord, what your word says to us this morning, I pray that, Lord, we will be really blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. May I say, first of all, Charlie, we do appreciate you. We don't know what we'd do without you. But Charlie has said more than once, he's just filling in. He's a gap. And, sorry, I said that all wrong. But I am really looking forward to when we have a minister, when we have a pastor, when we have someone who's going to lead us. But in the meantime, I believe this could be an amazing time. Amen. That we're not depending upon a minister. When we've got problems or we want people to be seen or whatever, the normal thing, and probably it's a proper thing, is to come to the minister or the pastor and say, this is the situation. But we are not in that situation now. If you've got a Bible, would you please turn to Romans chapter 15? The only reason what I'm saying this morning is simply this passage of Scripture, and I think it's Romans 15. It's so suitable for our situation. I want to get through the chapter, but to save time, I won't do it twice. I won't go straight away. I want to emphasize on the first part, and it's this. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. And that is just where we are, just like that. I wanted to sort of look into that. What does it really mean for us to be strong? And that you could come up with all sorts of answers. There's just not one answer. I mean, one thing I can think of, we might say, well, obviously, I've been to this church for 95 years or whatever, and I've heard so many sermons, we could say this, that's by definition. Obviously, I am a strong Christian. Trouble with that is, about a couple of months ago, I was invited to the vicarage over in Weston, and three young people had just come back. I'll tell you where they come back from in a minute. One of them was 19, the boy, and there were two girls. And they had just come back from Calcutta. And I'm not, you know all about what that was like there. They had been there for 6 months. And looking at these three, they were just shining. You can tell that they have an incredible relationship with Jesus Christ. They just put me in the shade. I don't care how long I've been to church. I'm sorry, I haven't got what they've got. Their relationship, I want to talk about this morning, a continuing, growing relationship with Jesus. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But this is what I think is for us to grow, to get stronger. A continual, growing relationship with Jesus. Do you remember last week, Charlie was speaking so much about Jesus, the person of Jesus. It's not religion, it's Jesus. And we had in Revelation, actually, perhaps what Jesus actually looked like. I've just got two verses I would like us to look at. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. And this is Paul speaking. Again, this could be sort of like us. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That I, through Christ, who strengthens me, it's surely it is a relationship with Jesus. In the Psalms we read, in his presence is fullness of joy. And you know, if we're going to help people, if we're saying we haven't got a minister, I want to be strong, we can't do it all because I ought to do it. It's a strain. But no, in his presence is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And how can I maintain this relationship with Jesus? I want to be so in touch with him. Well, what about prayer? God loves us so much that I'm going to pretend this, but he was saying to himself, how can I let those that I've created, I love them, I want to be close to them. I know what, they'll understand this, I'm going to call them, I'm going to be the Father. So we have our Father. We have the prodigal son coming to his father. There's this in the New Testament, incredible situation. You are adopted into the family of God. That's quite absolutely incredible. God has got that situation like that so that because we can understand. We can understand what it was to have a father. And many of us might not have had a very good father at all. But we know what it could be like if it wasn't very nice for our father. And so on a human level, if a child comes up to the father and says, Dad, can I have this? Can I have a whatever? And then a little while after, Dad, could I have this? And could I, oh, please, Dad, could I have... If it goes on and on asking, I can't see how that can improve the relationship of a father and a son. Surely it's very, very important. There's so much scripture to say the importance of prayer. But if it is a case, and it can easily be this, when we're saying, yes, we should pray more for have this relationship with God, I could get to the situation and say, well, I haven't prayed for Manchester yet. And there's Aunt Flo. I haven't prayed for her for ages. I reckon I could extend my prayer by sort of 10 minutes each day. And although it's necessary to pray, I can't see how prayer in that sense actually lets me have a closer relationship with Jesus so that I'm like Jesus, so that I am strong, so that I can be useful and helpful. One more verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 15. Just like us again, letter, if you like, B, 12B, 13B, 15B, sorry. Come on, we haven't got a minister now. So always strive to do what is good for each other. Amen. And for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that's been very helpful to me, because in the past I thought, I think authorized is pray, or is it pray? No, that's pray continually. What's the other pray? Yeah, it's, and I thought, how can you do that? You can't just pray all the time, but it says that. But look, it's sandwiched. It's got rejoice always, pray continually, then it's give thanks in all circumstances. I'm sure the prayer is praise. Do you know there's more reference to praising God in the Bible than there is for prayer? I believe it's talking. It's talking to God in that sense, not asking. Do you know, not so long ago, it's wonderful how things have changed. As far as this praise, as far as thanking God, which is so, so important. What we've had this morning, wonderful praise, time of lifting up God. I used to go to a church where we used to have a, and you probably hear, it was here years ago. It's not, it hasn't changed completely. But we used to have a prayer, then a hymn, then a prayer, then a Bible reading. And I mean, the hymn might have been, do you want to be happy in Jesus? Well, trust and obey. But what's that to do with lifting up the name of Jesus, of worshipping him? And now things have changed, haven't they? This wonderful time we have of not looking on ourselves, sometimes it is, but it is praising God, which is so, so important. How do we, I don't know how we get on ourselves. You probably do this, but I find the easiest way to praise is, I've got my little iPod, I might have said it before, and CDs on it. And it really is, it does help to praise. It's not saying, Lord, I want this, I want that. Lord, I'm going to be in your presence. You are my friend. You are my savior. I want you to know that I love you. And to just listen to these wonderful praise songs, the words and the music, I find that so easy. I just love it. I enjoy it. Or it might just be Taze, background music. It really, really does help us to praise. We might not be in that situation where we can have the, if other people don't want to hear. Unfortunately, I've got a little room with a little setup like that. I tell you, another wonderful way to praise God is read the Psalms. Just go through one or two or three and you get some negative Psalms. Yeah, I feel like that against you, God too. We can be real in our praise, but practically all the Psalms end up again in the end of the Psalm of praising God. I mean, for goodness sake, what about Paul? I know we keep on saying about him, but Paul and Silas, it was when they were praising God, when they were praying to God, wow, the chains fell off. The power there was in prayer, or is in prayer. Look, praise changes our focus. You know, we might be praising God through tears, but when we look to God to praise him, we cannot be thinking about our circumstances. It lifts our spirit, doesn't it? When we praise God, this has got to do with having a close relationship with God. And when I've got a close relationship with God, I am strong. And therefore, hopefully, of course, let the weak say I am strong? Because of what the Lord has done for me. Where do we stand this morning? I don't know. Do you look upon you as strong? Do you look upon yourselves as weak? But you know, we can get to the situation when we are prayed for and prayed for, and let's continue to pray for each other. Perhaps this morning we can do that. But we can get to the point too, and someone saying, do you know what? I've now really got through. People have blessed me. And I am going to go up to that person I've never spoken to before. I'm just going to say, hello, how are you? I'm going to go up and I'm going to make an effort to pray for that person. And we can end up with no weak people in a way. But, which I'll illustrate in a moment, if we think we are strong, and we are strong, for each one of us there will come times when we are so, so weak. It comes to all of us. Can I give you an example? In case you think I'm up here pontificating, whatever, is that the word? As though I'm, you know, somewhere. Let me just give you an example of just what the opposite is. This involves Graham Baker. I know it sounds daft, but 2 weeks ago, I think we had a men's breakfast. And I wanted to get a bit earlier just to go round to ask people to come to the breakfast. Some guys, and I needed time. I wasn't late. I asked some guys, and no one came. So it wasn't important, but I didn't know that. I mean, this is just a little thing. This is where, come on, Graham, you've got to change your ways. I'm not like this all the time, but I wanted to get to here, And I remember, I was driving along, and this guy swerves right out in front of me. Not too bad, but I slow down. I thought, well, you know, now put your foot down, because the lights are green. And I know those traffic lights, when they go red, they stay red all day. And he was determined to go so slow that they went red. Do you know, I was really cross. I said, for goodness sake, I'm trying to, why could you come in front of me? You could at least put your foot down and make up for it. I mean, I didn't say that to, but I did look at him, you know, sort of, who are you, you know. But, you know, honestly, that is not right. It really isn't. I know that's sort of a funny thing. I felt so bad about it, but I was listening to TBN or what's the other one, Daystar, and I was a little bit comforted by this pastor's wife saying she was in a situation where children were going to come to her house, the Christian children, and she had to get back and open up, and the house was untidy, and she had to do a bit of cooking. And this person in the front, in the shop, I don't know what was, it was ages, and I'm sure she wasn't as bad as I was, but the point was this. She heard in the front someone, she was saying, I can't find this, whatever I want, only my daughter is ever so ill, she's on chemotherapy, and I did want to. She said, when I heard this, and this is what I've got to be like, this is what all this getting all worked up. She said, do you know what? I could not care less. If those children were, if I was late, if my house was untidy, or whatever, I don't care. This poor soul was so more important. And I don't know, this guy that went in front of me, I wonder what his situation was. So I'm sorry to bring you down that, you know, haven't got wings and I'm, you know. But come on, we learn by this. A relationship with Jesus, it can be whatever happens to us. We're going to say, no, I'm going to pray for that prayer. I think Vivian was on about that sort of thing a little while ago about praying. It's just a silly little thing, but my nephew, we had coffee, but that was a year ago. We were a family like that. We never seemed to get together. He's a lovely Christian man. He's not much younger, about 5 years younger than me. And I suppose I've phoned him a year later. And I suppose it comes that he knows that you've phoned who it is. But it's a silly little thing. But I just thought, this is lovely. I went, ring, ring, ring. He says, oh, hello, Graham. What a lovely evening. I thought, oh, that's so, you know, that was just unnatural. To me, that is, oh, no, okay, non-Christian could say that as well. But to me, that was, you know, just living. Oh, isn't it wonderful? I'm praising the Lord. Isn't it? Lovely evening. Don't know. Just a tiny, tiny thing. How else can my relationship grow? In case I've gone off, what was my first bit? My first bit was a continual growing relationship with Jesus will make me stronger. Yeah. Secondly, get back to that Romans chapter 11. It's incredible. It's all about us. Sorry, did I say that? 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their goods, good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Ah, this is amazing. Everything that was written in the book you've got in your hand, in your lap, on the books at the back of the church, for everything that was written in the past, in this, was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, and I might somehow flick open to the, and my goodness me, Genesis 39. This poor guy, Joseph, and I'm going through what I've got, and how long can I stick while I'm going through, Lord? And now I've read now, thank you very much, he was in jail, he helped somebody, And that guy says, do you know what, Joseph? When I get out, I'll tell Pharaoh, I'll put a good word in for you, and you'll be out in a minute. And this guy, 2 years later, oh my goodness me, I forgot all about Joseph. Poor chap, he's still in prison. And God was, as we know all this, as God was with Joseph, Joseph could say, but Lord, if you're with me, why in the dickens am I 2 more years in prison? So that could be an example. May the God, then it says endurance taught in the scriptures. That's a good teaching, isn't it? And encouragement. They provide, we might have hope. And God uses, the Bible says here, repeats them. It repeats endurance and repeats encouragement. So may the God who gives endurance, we might need that this morning, and encouragement, we always need encouragement, give you the same attitude of mine in James Street towards each other. Amen. That Christ Jesus had, so that all of us at James Street, with one mind and one voice, may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another. Amen. Come on, let's always accept one another. May there be nothing between anybody here. Amen. May we in Jesus' name love one another. Really. And that this is known as a church that is friendly. And that's great. But that is really, really so important. We're all different and we can have things that people irritate you or whatever it is. But come on, let us all put this into practice. Accept one another. Just as Christ has accepted you, for goodness sake. In order to bring praise to God, that's what it's all about. And the last verse I won't go to. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, have we heard of Rick Warren? Rick Warren, he wrote The Purposeful Life. Thank you. He sold 30 million of those, and he became rich because of that. And his little church of 20,000, they don't pay him anymore. You know, he opened charities. He's an amazing man of God. Oh, but I've got a photograph here of this guy. Opening prayer with Obama there, who asked him for his inauguration. And there's a picture, I reckon that's Clifton's Whitehead, I'm sure, and others there. That's the sort of guy. And that book, more translations of that book, there's been more than any other book apart from the Bible. So what a strong man. But this happened to him. I pray more than any other prayer. No. I got that wrong. Oh. Right, this is his son. Are we all with me? I remember when Matthew was 17, he came to me and said, Dad, it's really obvious. I'm not going to be healed of this mental illness. We've gone to the best doctors in the nation. I've taken the best medicines, got the best therapy. We've had prayers, lawyers, intercessors, everything you can imagine, and nothing has worked. Why can't I just die and go to heaven? What do you say as a father? He was a kid who had been in pain since he was born. 10 years later, Matthew took his life. When Matthew died, I took a 4-month grief sabbatical. I did not preach. I did not teach. So I spent 8 hours a day alone with Jesus. I'm not the same man I used to be. I've got the same personality, the same flaws, but I'm just not the same guy I was. You can't spend 4 months alone in reflection, in the Bible, with Scripture, and with Jesus, and not change you, deepen you, and sensitize you to the pain of others. Before that, on the day that happened, we might not have said, I want a lot of people around me, I don't know. But the night they came and spent the night at our home, that night they did that. We didn't have beds for them. They just slept on the couch and in the kitchen, saying, "We're not leaving you alone." The next day I sent a letter to my church saying, "I've been your pastor for 33 years. I need you now. I need you to pastor me for this time." An example of when the strong become weak and the weak can become strong in that sense. Just, I wanted to put this first, I didn't, but just going back to that emphasis on the Word of God and how important that is when that scripture says this. This is a situation where in an orphanage there are 1,000 children because their parents in Nigeria were shot by Boko Haram, and they had Bibles given them, and the orphans were 4 to 16. And I'll just give you examples. This is very encouraging. This one says, "This is a day of joy. This Bible will be my everything," shared one of the children, Abraham Hanna. "I remember one day my father told me that the Bible has answers to all our needs, physical and spiritual. This gift is so precious to me in a time like this. Not a bicycle, not a teddy bear. The Bible is the best companion. I'll sleep with it and walk with it until I fully experience God in my life." Some of the children had been hoping for a Bible for a long time. Abraham Bogle said, "Wow, I'm so happy to receive a copy of the Bible today. I've been asking my father to buy one for us when he was alive. But today I got it. I'm happy. I will learn how to trust in God through the Word of God." Doesn't that sort of make you say, "Come on, I've got to take my wonderful book that's in that book more seriously"? I'm just ending with this. We had a dog, a little Yorkshire Terrier, and we found we'd like someone else to have it. It was, to be honest, we felt tied with this little dog. So we knew a single woman, and she had two little children. And they said, "Yeah, we'd like your dog, but could we have it for sort of see how we get on?" So for a fortnight, we went away and left this little dog with mum and two children. We phoned up on the way back to see what the situation was. I've got a sort of strange answer. "Well, I don't think Lucy really likes the children very much." So I thought, strange thing, okay, all right, we'll come and collect her. So we went into the house and there was our dog in the basket, all nice and warm, little paw hanging over. Didn't move, just stayed there, usual. And so I said to the children, I said, "Do you take her for a walk?" "Oh, we do. She just come back." "Oh, yeah, we always take her for a walk." I said, "Well," I said, "that's fine." I said, "She'll get to really like you." "Really?" "Yeah." And the mum said, "Well, is it all right then? Can we have the dog?" I said, "Yeah." Oh, they were so pleased. Julie and I went to the car, and we're just about to drive away, and the door opened, and the mother beckoned and said, "I don't think Lucy's breathing." So we both went back in. Lucy was not breathing. She died. Now, what happened then was the mother burst into tears because sort of thought it was somehow her fault, which obviously it wasn't. But this is the point. I could hardly believe it. I just glanced down. There was this little girl about, I don't know, like little Elizabeth, little girl like that. It was a book or something. She got this little book or something, and she went up to give to her mum because her mum was crying. the little girls, about three, came up and put their arm around their mum. The children weren't crying. They lost their dog. But mum was so, so weak, wasn't she? She was crying. And these little weak ones were so strong in comforting their mum. So, an illustration, you know, if we sometimes feel weak, we are actually, in Jesus, are very, very strong. And we can be very powerful, very helpful. For lonely, people that are lonely. Not just in the church, our neighbour or our friends. Yeah. People who are sick, whatever. We who are strong ought to look after those that are weak. And, you know, again, if we want prayer for that, say, well, you know, I want to be like that, or I've got this problem. And you might not want to say what it is. I had a lovely prayer for Norman then. I said to Norman, because it makes a difference, prayer. I said to Norman, I'm absolutely so, so nervous. Would you please pray for me? I always felt like walking out. And but God comes. God answers prayer. And you can be in the same situation. And it's not hopeless at all. Jesus is wonderful. Thank you.